How's it going, everybody? This is Adam, and it is currently about 10 p.m. on Thursday night, and that means it's well past time for another episode of Homeward Path. This is the show by me and MPG Dad for all of you at home who are trying to play Magic: The Gathering on a time or a financial budget the way that I do. This is your voice. So last week I talked at length about some of the things that are going on in our personal life and how they inform some of the decisions. I have some good news for anybody who cares. We went to the doctor this morning and they found out that little Nolan, who is due at the end of May, has absolutely nothing wrong with him, and they can't figure out why the people at the OB sent us to the fetal medicine clinic in the first place. So that was very exciting. But as a result of being off for the purposes of going to that appointment, I have been locked firmly into dad role today. And this is the only chance I'm going to get to record. So here we are. The downside is it means I'm technically breaking the spirit of the show because I'm not actually in the car, I'm at home. Obviously, you don't hear any of the background noise. But upside, it means I'm not limited to the distance of my commute. Sarah's at work. I just got Esther in bed. And Abel is staying with my mother tonight at his insistence. So, here we are. So, this week, I wanted to talk a little bit about my experiences playing Ravnica Allegiance in the order that I got to experience them. So it starts with the release of an arena and then moves over to my experience with the Midnight pre-release. But first, I have to thank the people who make this show possible. It begins with the network over at constructivecriticism.com. The hyperbole, gushing, effusive praise just never quite does them justice. The content that they put out is great. I can't say it any other way than that without sounding like I'm trying to suck up to the boss. They have great stuff. You should consume that great stuff because it will help you like it helped me and then some. So do that thing. And while you're at it, while you're checking their stuff out, you can also check out the stuff our sponsor over at inkgaming.com has. Excuse me. If you use the promo code CCMTG10 at checkout, you can get 10% off your order. It will give you some sweet ways to make your deck look cool or your playing surface look cool. Whatever it is you're into, I don't know, but it's awesome. Check it out. It's on my agenda in the not like super near future, but in the fairly near future to potentially try to get a mat made. And if you want to support the show directly, you can do so at patreon.com/homewardpathmtg. The show will always be free, but if you feel like you are getting enough back out of this show that you want to support it, I like to leave the avenue open. And we are coming up on Grand Prix Memphis, so every little bit is going to help immensely, even if it's just like trying to get into the electronic rigs to do the special feature that I want to do for the episode that week. So, while we were away last week, we had the release of Ravnica Allegiance on MTG Arena. And I have had an absolute blast playing it. Bar nothing, it's just been an absolute fantastic time. The new cards that I've gotten to play with on in standard are good. So far, that has primarily been Light Up the Stage and Skewer the Critics because I am in the process of testing Mono Red and Drakes as my kind of heavy favorites for Memphis. Skewer the Critics feels really good. Like, really good. Getting the extra playset of Lightning Bolts in the red deck just feels like exactly what that deck needed to be able to compete. It can still get beaten by big, stupid, life-linking creatures, and it can still get beaten by Wildgrowth Walker going unanswered. But barring those things, it just feels like the most consistently, or it just feels like the deck that applies the most consistent pressure to an opponent almost regardless of what they're doing. Like the White Weenie deck doesn't really get away with that because there are a lot of decks that can just put a couple of walls up in the first couple of turns, or you know, the control decks can just sweep the board, and it just the mono red with access to Skewer the Critics and light up the stage, just it keeps up the pressure like nothing else I've played in a little while. It feels very much like some of the older mono red decks that I've played that were bordering on dominant in their format. So if I end up playing it at Memphis, I will not be disappointed. Other cards from the set that I've experimented with so far in standard, Terramander has been pretty solid. I haven't gotten to see it a lot because I haven't actually gotten the full play set of it yet. I'm still kind of trying stuff out, trying to figure out what's getting cut from the Drake's list to be able to accommodate it. And then the other one is I have experimented with cutting the Anticipate that I was originally playing, and for the life of me, I can't remember what the other card I cut was, but I'm experimenting with two copies of Shimmer of Possibility in the Drake's deck, and I absolutely love having access to Impulse in the Drake's deck. It feels so good. So good being able to filter through the top four cards of your library, and you don't actually lose any of them, they just go on the bottom. And as anybody who has played that deck a reasonable amount of time can tell you, you go through your deck fairly quickly. So, you know, there's every possibility that you'll get to see at least a couple of those cards again. Between your scrying, your surveilling, your charter courses, Nibnizzet triggers, Crackling Drake triggers. You know, radical ideas. Maybe you play Chemist's Insight. I mean, the beautiful thing about the Drake deck is I don't know that there's necessarily a wrong way to build it. Because you can skew more toward the creature package with your Arclight Phoenixes and, you know, max out on your Terramanders and just play all the cheap self-replacing cards, things like Crash Thrower or Warlord's Fury, and then Tormenting Voice, Alert the Graveyard, and you just go like really aggressive into having an almost combo finish. Or you can go all the way to the other spectrum where you trim your threat count down really low, play a bunch of card draw removal counter magic, and then like Niv-Mizzet, Crackling Drake, and then like two or three other creatures, and you feel like a control deck that just has more threats. Whatever it is you end up on, it's just a deck that feels really reasonable, and I love it. So, moving from one situation with a reasonable deck that I really enjoy to another situation where I ended up with a reasonable deck that I enjoyed, even though I didn't do well, I played the Midnight pre-release for my for my Ravnica Allegiance Limited experience so far. Now, Midnight was the only one I did. We had five events over the course of the weekend. We had Midnight, two on Saturday and two on Sunday. So the only one I did was Midnight, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to miss out on dad time. I've made a point of explaining just how important that is to me. And by doing Midnight, that meant I got to get off of work. I worked some overtime on Friday. I got home. I got to be dad. I took a nap. Got up, got to be dad again, and then got everybody to bed, and then I, you know, kind of zoned out for a little bit, started getting everything ready, and then we went to the card shop. That was a big part of it, is making sure I was not going to miss out on dad time. Part two, I also didn't want to miss out on husband time because Sarah is, as of today, 20, almost 23 weeks pregnant. So, leaving her with the kids by herself for 4 or 5 hours just seemed like a bad time. I don't want to do that any more than I absolutely have to. You know, barring something like Memphis coming up where it's just not something I'm going to get to do again for a while. So I wanted to make sure I wasn't, neglecting my duties to my family in order to play this pre-release. So from that standpoint, Midnight just made the absolute most sense. I didn't have to miss out on dad time. And by the time I got ready to go, Sarah was already in bed and so were the kids. So everything was square. So I ended up going to the pre-release. It was torrential downpour, otherwise I would have walked. But it was raining. It was raining. I failed to come up with a hilarious analogy, but it was raining. It looked like it was raining sideways. It was bad. So I ended up driving the block and a half to the store. So I go in, confirm my registration. I had pre-registered the week before and kind of locked into Simic, and I still feel like I made the right choice, even though I didn't have a particularly successful pre-release. A lot of that is due to my mistakes more so than the pool. Like, I don't want to blame it on the cards that I was given because for the first time I have ever had in a sealed pool, I opened it and I looked at it and I was like, oh, okay, there's a pretty obvious deck in here. That doesn't normally happen to me. I'm terrible at sealed. Absolutely, positively got awful at it. But it's something I like to practice when I get the chance. And the pool, the cards, just everything kind of fell in line. The biggest thing I was strapped for was two drops. I did not have nearly enough two drops in just blue green, and it's possible that I should have splashed. If not for two drop, if not to have additional creatures in other colors, maybe it was to have access to removal so that I didn't get run over by people. But just all the way around, the deck felt pretty reasonable. Bombs were a single copy of Shark to Crab. My promo was Simic Ascendancy, and then I ended up with double Aeromunculus and and then the only other card that I got that was particularly noteworthy was the Scargan Hellkite and a Galloping Lizrog. The take the counters off of your stuff and then double that number and put it on the big trample guy. Like, that was my pull. It was a completely reasonable Simic deck. And I wanted Simic because it felt like a mechanic that it felt like the guild that I could play the best in limited, because limited decks, I tend to play a little bit lighter on land than I should because I'm always terrified of flooding out. And then playing Simic allowed me to stick to the numbers that I really needed. And thanks to the fact that the creatures had adapt, I wouldn't have to worry about flooding out. I would have something to do with my mana. But all the way around, the deck felt pretty reasonable. The cards flowed pretty well between access to cards like I had a Shimmer of Possibility in my pool. I had the draw four, discard two at the top of the curve so that once I started to stall out, I might be able to find that and just get some more gas and get back into the game. And then just access to a card like Simic Ascendancy that just always gives you something to do with your mana. And I did, in fact, almost win a game with it. But I just killed my opponent with combat damage before we got to 20. I was at 19. Could have pushed it to 20 and then waited until my next upkeep, but I didn't want to like drag the game out just to do a meme-y thing. I didn't want to meme my opponent just for my benefit. So, but just all the way around, the limited format feels really fun, super diverse. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I love it. The every archetype seems to kind of have its own thing that it does particularly well. Rakdos is really good at steadily bleeding you dry and can borrow from a few of the Orzhov cards to accomplish that goal. Like, I really like the bleeding of the mechanics and just the overall strategy of these archetypes. The limited format just feels super diverse. There's a lot of ways to build your decks. And it feels like one that would be a ton of fun to explore if I had the finances to really sit down and test it. But again, that's just an investment I don't have at my disposal right now. And it's not an investment that I need to try and make for the purposes of an event that I'm trying to do, so it doesn't make a ton of sense to try right now. But limited format looks great. I came home. I ended up doing my free draft on Arena. Ended up getting into a Bant deck. It also felt pretty reasonable, but I misclicked on a Galloping Lizarog in my second and my third match. My first match was decided entirely by the presence of Ethereal Absolution. And then the second one, my deck did what it was supposed to do. And my third one, my deck was doing what it was supposed to do. One game one was about to take over a pretty commanding board position in game two. And I didn't understand how the clicking worked on the Lizarog on Arena and ended up just summoning a 3-3 with Trample and ended up getting demolished from that point on. I didn't have the 10-10 Trample that I was trying for. And then, the ability to readapt my Shark to Crab and the Sorrowform hybrid. So that was the position I found myself in. Didn't end up winning that game and then ended up just that was it. But and the in ironic fashion, I ended up losing both games two and three of my third match on in that draft to specifically the card Screaming Shield. And I really wanted to scream afterward, but it does feel like a limited format that is just a ton of fun. I really enjoyed the experience of playing with these cards, and I look forward to getting to do it some more. So with that, we wrap up the main segment. And let's go into how you can find me because I'm pretty easy to find if you know where to look. You can send me a you can tweet the show directly at Homeward Path MTG on Twitter. It's the name is Adam Spain. There's a picture of me with the family and profile picture. I generally try to respond as much as I can. I mean, other priorities, but as much as I can do it, I will. And then you can send me an ad on Facebook. My name is Adam Spain. I try to reply to the messages that I get there within reason. And then you can join the Facebook group, the Homeward Pathfinders. You can join the Discord for the Constructed Criticism family. I'm like reasonably active in there. If you haven't already joined, I highly recommend that. Not just dead sure where to find that, but look for Spencer Howland, and he can point you in the right direction. And then you can, if you really want to get directly involved with the show, you can send me tweets for my favorite segment every week. So when I was trying to come up with a social media outreach program, I just kind of struggled. Wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And then I remembered that we're a dad. We're attempting to be funny on occasion. And I love a good pun. So and once I figured out that it was something that people were doing, it did not take me long to decide to get all the way in on it. So my Twitter outreach program every week is hashtag MTG dad jokes. I love them. Send them to me. I will read as many of them as I can on the air every week. I love them. So the first one I have this week comes from Mark Rosewater. 5 days ago, somebody says, "I ran biogenic ooze and it got absolutely out of control. I dig it." And Rosewater's response was, "Good ooze travels fast." Gold. And we have, well, nope. Okay, that one is gone. Never mind. We have Spencer Howland, who, in response to the ban list update, says today's banning was lit. Am you lit? And then the picture is the bad joke husky. Glorious. And then we have one from Jeff Hoagland. Says kicking off the morning, creating something of a spectacle in modern. Let's light up the stage, shall we? And it's Boros Burn playing both Skewer the Critics and Light Up the Stage. Actually, it's Mardu Burn, technically, because he's playing Bump in the Night. but the list is actually pretty tight. And yeah, I mean, it's a burn deck in modern. But, I enjoy a good pun. We had Chantel Campbell says, I've dove and bonded with this deck. Card Kingdom just set the pun bar so low. I was walking through a store after getting out of that doctor's appointment this morning, and that's when I started laughing at that joke. That's when I got it. That's when I started laughing. And then somebody caught me earlier. Russ Smith caught me earlier. The original tweet was by at Trick MTG said, hit me with your best worst MTG dad jokes and puns. Or MTG puns and jokes. And Russ Smith tagged me, says, we need you. And I very quickly whipped out my phone and I looked Sarah dead in the eye and I said, the dad signal has gone off. I'm needed. So I said, I have referred to this limited format as spectacular overall. Strategies seem fairly adaptable and playing it's an absolute riot. Addendum, cards seem to have a new lease on afterlife in this format. I'll see myself off the air briefly. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Next week we'll find something different to talk about. My cat just knocked over a glass on the table. I really hope there was nothing in it. Merryweather Light glass breaker on the table. Anyway, I really hope you enjoyed the show. If you have questions, comments, concerns, want to talk, want some help with the deck, I'm probably the last person you really want help with a deck from, but if you feel like I can help you and you want to reach out, don't hesitate to do so. Again, I try to respond to everybody. So have fun, play Magic, and I'll catch you next week. Thanks.